Hi, Chan boys and Chan girls. It is your hero Matt here, thanking you for listening to Chansplaining. We love that someone's listening. Today we're going to talk about Project A, which is a super kick-ass movie. We watched it on YouTube. It was, I think, $3. I think that Jackie deserves your money here, so you should totally buy it. If you don't have $3, go into mommy's purse. Take out some gumdrops and some Ludens and find some money, $3 specifically, and open up a bank account, get a charge card, and then use that to charge the movie to YouTube because they don't take hard cash. Also, please rate and review us on iTunes. Five-star rating is what we want. Just give us what we want, please. We're three hardworking boys from Long Island trying to meet Jackie Chan. I know everyone in the world has that fucking dream. But make it, please, just let us do it, please. We've had a tough time. I was raised by a single mom. Sonny had to grow up in the all-white Long Island. And Jordan was teased for a number of very, very reasonable reasons, actually. So please rate and review us 5 stars so we can meet Jackie. Also follow us on Twitter at TheChanPod. And also, do whatever you do on Facebook. Like us on Facebook, subscribe to us on Facebook. If you want to add me as a Facebook friend, I'll accept you. I really don't have that many because I'm private for the most part. But I'll open it up for you if you review us 5 stars. Anyway, thanks for listening. We really appreciate it.
Music. Music.
Hi, Chan boys and Chan girls. You're listening to Chansplaining, the Jackie Chan podcast. I'm one third of your host, Matt, here live in...
Live from the studio.
Live from a bunker.
In Kuwait, where we're hiding. Only for a couple days, though, so it's not a big deal.
This is where we're forced to have Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we...
Government.
We're our own families now.
Oh, man. You're listening to, I believe it's going to be episode 4, and today we're going to be talking about Project A, not Kid A, far as I know.
Yeah, and for anyone out there who is confused about the title, it's Chansplaining, like mansplaining, that thing when men explain things.
Explain to me, Jordan.
Oh, interesting.
So they explain it to, I think, women.
Yeah.
But also men, other men, I guess.
So we're explaining Jackie Chan to women.
No, we're explaining... Well, no, I don't think we're explaining Jackie
I don't think
Chan.
A lot of women are going to listen to those guys. Yeah. Every woman I know is not as down as every man I know.
Yeah.
Which
is
very little to begin with. Can't say it's a ton.
I think that lots of people like Jackie Chan, but no one is doing the work. No one's looking up Kid A or Project A or all sorts of A's.
I was at a drinking event last week. And I mentioned that I was doing this podcast, and a person went, "Oh, I love Jackie Chan." And I was like, "Oh, do you want me to send you like a couple episodes so you can listen?" He's like, "I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know.
Podcasts are the new mixtape."
Yeah.
I think people say that they love Jackie Chan, but what they really mean is that they loved seeing Rush Hour when they were 10 years old in the movie theater and have seen nothing else besides those three movies.
Shanghai Noon.
Shanghai
Nights.
Some of them, not even Shanghai Nights.
Yeah.
What other...
Jackie Chan was big in America before Rush Hour, though, wasn't he?
He was.
Was he?
His book says that he was... getting there.
Okay.
But Rush Hour was the thing that put him on
his
the map.
His breakout?
Cannonball Run is his first American movie.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I've never seen Cannonball Run.
He has a
Run.
Very small part in Cannonball Run. He plays a Japanese man.
Oh, shit.
which he didn't love, and neither do I.
Yeah.
Or neither should anybody, but that was his thing. Oh, man. I'm really excited to talk about this movie today, guys. I think we all...
We're fresh off the boat.
On this movie
Ooh,
right
that
now.
That is the wrong...
Well, it's also good because it's about pirates.
And
technically it is.
Yes,
it's
I
about...
guess.
Yeah. All right, so as with every episode, we're going to start with a little bit of Was it Chanthology?
Chanthology.
No, Chanfiction.
I know. I think it changes every episode.
Yeah, wait.
I'm going to read from a little bit from Jackie Chan's biography.
Chan I Am.
Yeah, I Am Jackie Chan, A Life in Action. This chapter is pretty interesting, and it fits really well in with Project A in a way that you guys are going to go at the end. Hobada, 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 hobada.
I'm excited now.
Yeah. So
I've always wanted to do that.
So this is a little story about how this chapter is called Fresh Blood.
Oh.
Ooh.
Yeah. Get.
Sounds spooky.
Get wet. Yes. So this is post Yuen Long regime takeover, and he's just working them through their workouts when a new boy comes to town.
Uh-oh.
It's pretty much the same thing happens as like when Jackie happened to like join up with the parents. They're showing like the facilities. The master doesn't seem like he's abusive at all. He just seems like a nice old man that's gonna help their son become a big star. But this kid is crying the whole time. Like, he doesn't like it. He's not like Jackie, who's like, let me play with the swords.
Yeah.
Let me do backflips. He just doesn't really like it at all. And Yuen Long and Yuen Tai, his fucking shitty...
second in command?
What's the guy's name in Teen Wolf that we would always make fun of?
Styles.
His Styles. Like, his dumb sidekick are just...
And racist.
And racist. Smell the blood, like, mm-hmm. smell the fresh, scared blood. And they decide that they're gonna pretty much just, like, take advantage of this kid, because they are bullies, and they're really, really bad. So, he's seated next to Master, like, what happens at dinner table, and they're just, like, whispering to each other, like, mm-hmm. oh, we're gonna get him alone, we're gonna get him alone, we're gonna do all this shit. And Jackie overhears, because Jackie's the hero of the story.
He has,
and
he has super hearing.
And he has super hearing because... Yeah, actually it doesn't make sense because how we know about it, Jackie's all the way at one end, Master's on the other. Yuen Long, Yuen Tai, and the kid are all at the other side. It should be impossible for him to hear. But he, like, hears them doing it.
Maybe it's one of those special rooms where,
yeah.
where like sound travels from one side.
They need good acoustics at the China offer.
There might be. I mean, there doesn't seem to be furniture in there. So... he gets, like, they give him the big welcome.
Yeah.
Jackie does not know anything about this kid aside from he's going to be prey. But they go to do somersault training, which is something that's very interesting with this little boy. So I'm going to read directly from this. I'm going to be reading a lot directly from this because mm-hmm. they do it better than I can do. Okay.
You take your money, so.
The new kid, this is after Yuen Long showed him how to do it. The new kid said, "Let me try. I can do it. It's tricky," Jackie said. Or I said, remembering my clumsy first attempt, I unconsciously rubbed my head, remembering the bump I'd received upon smashing into the hard practice room floor. Jesus, that's so bad. The new kid took a deep breath, ran forward a few quick steps, and performed an almost perfect somersault. The master looked on with pride and surprise. The other kids watched with envy. And Yuen Long stood there stunned. As far as he was concerned, the new kid should have spent the day crying and sobbing for his parents, not showing off in front of his elders. The attention he was getting didn't make them happy at all. For the rest of the day, the kid proved again and again that he was a natural-born acrobat. "All of you should learn from this boy's example," shouted the master in a display of fine humor. What? How's that a joke? I don't really understand that.
Maybe what? Humor as in, like...
good spirits?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Like the ice cream truck.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe the humor. I don't know. That's a weird... what a weird sentence.
Yeah, I don't really know. Then he said, one day under my training, and already he can almost perform on the stage. Mm-hmm. And with that, he canceled the rest of practice and led the boy away, calling for tea and cookies. Yuen Long grabbed onto Yuen Tai's arm as we filed happily out of the practice room, heading for the courtyard to spend the rest of the afternoon at play. "That kid showed us up," Biggest Brother growled. Yuen Tai nodded. "Can't have that." They walked off together, plotting their revenge, and I decided that it wasn't going to happen.
Wait, can I make a brief timeout? Wait, are you saying Yuen Long and Yuen Tai?
Yeah.
So this is... I thought one of them was gone.
This is Yuen Tang.
What?
Yeah, there's a different Yuen.
There's Yuen Tang or Yuen Tian. I forgot his name, but he was the old biggest brother.
He was the old one.
Yuen Tai is the second oldest now.
Formerly third oldest.
Okay. I thought Yun Tai was the first one.
No, Yun Tien was the first one.
Yeah.
And he left.
Okay.
He left. He was the biggest brother. He left because he's a big pussy.
Okay.
Then Yun Long got elevated. And Yun Tai, his sidekick,
mm-hmm.
Stayed okay. with him.
Yeah.
It's honestly helpful if you read it.
Yeah.
Probably.
Did you order the book? I gave you the link.
You did give me the link. Okay, I'll have it for me when I get back to Maryland.
Okay, that's fine.
Does Jackie refer to himself in the third person when he writes this?
Sometimes.
Oh, interesting.
It's very rare. Were you guys ever the new kid? Or did you guys, like, always live in your hometown?
No, I was definitely the new kid, but I don't remember. Like, in elementary school.
Yeah.
Like, second grade, maybe?
Okay, that's tough.
Yeah.
I was the new kid in first grade.
I was the new kid in first grade also. Yeah. So, I think that's naturally...
Yeah.
First grade is, like, normal because... So you do kindergarten.
Yeah, kindergarten's a weird thing.
You could do it private, so...
I think I did actually, like, a weird private Jewish kindergarten, even though my parents, like, are super against private school.
Oh.
But it was the only one that would allow for them to, like, watch me after school, because they both work till 5.
Okay. Yeah, so...
It's called Special Treasures.
Ooh. It was in, You are a special treasure.
This is in Franklin Square, I think? I don't know.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah, you want to hear my really sad, first day of school in West Hempstead, where I used to live, story?
Yeah.
I went, didn't know anybody, as you would when you're a new kid. I was very, very nervous, and there was a big blonde kid there. His name was Robert something. I'm not going to say his real name. He went to NYU with me, actually.
Mueller.
Which was fun. Robert Mueller. And so me and Bob Mueller are there, and I'm super afraid of him for some reason, because he's, like, very tall and wiry, and I was, like, tall and chubby. And... we're told that we have to go together to, like, be hall monitors or whatever it is. And he's walking. I'm walking next to him. And he says something to me. And I literally crumble to the ground. Like, don't hit me. Don't hit me. He's like, what's happening? He's like, I don't know. Just don't hit me. And he was nice. Nothing happened. The day continues on. I'm, like, a still weird new kid. And it's come time to pick us up. My dad does not show up to pick me up at, like, 3 o'clock. So they take me to the main office. I'm sitting in the main office, and they're, like, trying to get a hold, but no one's at home.
Yeah.
Which is weird. They don't know where he is. They don't know where my mom is.
Why didn't they call the cell phone?
No cell phones existed.
I was just joking.
Oh, fuck. I mean, I guess they did exist, but they were big clonkers.
Like, yeah. Car phones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Turns out, my dad had gotten to the school early, fell asleep in the car, and had just been outside for, like, 3.5 hours.
Oh, my God.
And my mom... screamed and screamed at him. And I will always remember that day and, like, the desperation of crying in the lobby and thinking that's, like, what school is now, is, like, crying and being afraid.
Holy shit.
That's definitely a good day one.
It was day two was better. I actually became friends with that young boy. He had a boat.
Oh.
No, that's good. Yeah. Good friend to...
I don't remember
good person.
Anything about my first day of school.
I don't remember it either.
These guys didn't have traumatic experiences.
Yeah, we had pretty normal.
You guys had pretty good times. All right. Jordan, how about you read this, actually? Because I don't want to read the whole thing. You pretty much have to read, like, 3 pages if you're cool with that.
Okay, yeah, I'm good.
I want you to read this. Okay. Because it's going to be good, because I think Sonny might know what the trick is, what the surprise is. I don't think you know what the surprise is.
Where do I start?
So, this is, start from right there. This is pretty much after, Somersault Training, and Yun Long is going to exact his revenge.
Okay. When dinner was over, Master and Madam left the academy for the evening, visiting friends elsewhere in Kowloon. We were between tutors at the time, so there was no evening lesson, and Master didn't even tell Yun Lung to put us through a nighttime drill.
So it was just...
Okay.
Just to sleep. Just be children for once.
Everybody gets a night.
Yeah.
So Yun Lung had other plans. He and Yun Tai followed as the new kid brought his small bag into the storage room where we kept our personal belongings. Like a trained hit team, the pair drifted in behind him, taking care not to draw attention from the other kids. Yun Tai secured the doorway. Yun Long quietly grabbed the boy from behind. The new boy yelped when silenced by Big Brother's broad hand. "Shut up, baby," he said. "It's only us, your big brothers. Nothing to be scared about, unless you disrespect us, right, Yun Tai?" Right Big Brother, Snickered, Yuntai. Can't have Yuntai that.
Yuntai sucks. Yeah. Yuntai's the worst. He's not even, like, good enough to take charge in regards to bullying. He's just like, yeah, boss!
Yeah, this is getting worse and worse. The new boy began to cry, and Biggest Brother gave him a rough shake. It's all about respect, baby, he said. It's all about respect, baby.
In the audiobook, the way they say baby is really weird.
It's very
strange. The guy says baby in like a, like I guess really like a baby. Like yeah. He's calling him a baby, like an insult.
You want to show us you respect us? You gotta pay the tribute. What tribute, said the kid, muffled by Yun Long's hand. Well, what do you have, said Yun Long. Nothing, said the new boy. Okay. He's got nothing, I guess. Everybody's got something, said Yuntai. Despite their attempts to be unobtrusive, I'd seen the Big Brother slip away, and I knew what they intended to do. As a result, just as Yun Long raised his fist to administer the traditional penalty for disrespecting elders, I found myself ducking under the arm that Yuntai had stretched out to block the hallway door and stepping into a tiny storage room.
Oh. Yeah, so he's just entering the room.
Okay. What do you want, Big Jackie Nose?
Jackie wanting some trouble right
okay,
now.
Okay, yeah, there's some trouble going to happen.
Yeah.
What do you want, Big Nose? I didn't know that. I've never noticed Jackie Chan
well,
to have a
read
big
on.
Nose.
I actually wasn't going to read this part because it's kind of irrelevant to the story, but just read what they say about his nose and his thought of his nose.
What do you want, Big Nose, said Yun Long. This doesn't concern you. Biggest Brother had lately taken to calling me Big Nose. I had to admit that the insult fit, not just because I do have a rather big nose, but also because I had a tendency to stick it where it didn't necessarily belong. Oh, Jackie. You're very funny. Leave him alone, Big Brothers, I said. Master's going to be back soon, and you know that the new kid's off limits. Until he's gotten his first serving of Jiajingmen.
It's when he gets beat up. It's like when he got caned.
Oh, okay.
Like, that's a big deal.
Okay.
It's weird how, like, we've talked about this a bunch, but it's weird how, like, the abused, like, kind of are like, yeah, until he gets abused, he's off limits. We can't touch him.
Yeah, until Master gives him the first abuse.
Yeah.
We can't
break him in yet. It's so fucked up,
guys.
Yeah, it's my mom was... I talked to my mom about this today. This is like 1958. My mom was like hanging out in her parents' card store that they owned in Brooklyn. Meanwhile, Jackie Chan's getting the shit kicked out of him.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
What a weird, horrible existence. Yeah. But going on, as much as he hated it, Yun Long knew I was right. He left the new boy and pushed him away with a sullen glower. Yuntai wasn't about to give up that easily. Who the hell do you think you are, little brother? He shouted. You think this is any of your business? Get out of here before I kick your ass. And then Jackie retorts back, don't you mean kiss my ass?
Oh, no!
Always.
Sick burn.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
So I just want to interrupt here. So that is something that makes sense in English. Because kick and kiss sound similar.
I didn't even consider that.
But what they're speaking, I'm sure the word kiss
doesn't
and kick
sound
don't
same,
sound
doesn't
similar.
Sound
no. So this is probably something Jackie Chan imagined.
Maybe none of this book is true.
But I'll take your word for it, Jackie. Yeah. We'll talk about this in person.
I like to think that at this point he's just standing in front of a typewriter, like biting on a pen cap or something. He's like, got it! Kiss my ass! Yes!
Without warning, Yuntai swung out and slapped me across the face, bringing a sudden sting of tears into my eyes. I couldn't hit him back. That was against the rules. But nothing was going to stop me from using my mouth.
Ooh. I'm sorry, nothing?
Why'd you look at me when you read that?
Because you made me read this weird stuff.
I'll read the rest of
it. No, I'm reading it. Screw you, asshole, I said. Not believing his ears, Yuntai slapped me again. What did you say? Screw you, another slap. Screw you, yet another slap. Now blood was trickling down my chin. He kept on hitting me. I kept on repeating it. His face began to swell with bruises. and I never lifted a hand against second biggest brother. Screw you, screw you, screw you. Finally, Yun Long, who decided not to get involved in the situation, heard Master coming in the hallway.
Come on.
I'm sorry.
You've grown up. We're just getting the shit out of him right now.
I didn't even realize why he's...
I'm sorry, everybody. Please, let's edit that out.
No.
Okay. He ran out with the new kid on his heels, shouting Master's name. By the time Master arrived at the storage room, blood was pouring from my mouth and nose, my jaw was swollen like a chipmunk's, and I was mumbling, "Screw you," dazedly beneath my breath. "Stop," shouted Master, breaking Yun Tai from his trance. If Master hadn't intervened, he might have gone on hitting me forever. And I just have kept on cursing him out until my lower face collapsed off my skull. Oh my god.
Yeah, some of the ways that... I don't know if he, like... Because this was ghostwritten, so yeah. I don't know if it's that person editorializing. But he really does get into, pain a lot. And he has very good ways of describing how things feel. Like, that's such a visceral image.
I think... with his profession, he's probably really good at describing pain.
He has
the experience all the pain.
In that edition of the book, there's a list of every broken bone and ailment he's ever gotten from movies.
And I can't wait for us to read it verbatim from the book. So, going on, finishing up, "What the hell is going on here?" Master said angrily, looking at my damaged face. I looked at Yun Tai, who seemed suddenly frightened. "We were having a disagreement," I said. Master looked at Yun Tai, who was unmarked, and then at me, my clothes spotted with blood and my face a bruised disaster.
Oh my god.
"A disagreement?" he repeated. He turned around and walked out the door. "If I see that any of you have a swollen nose or bruised face again, I will kill you," he said as he headed back towards his quarters.
I'm glad that I'm not reading this, because I like looking at your face as you're doing this, as you're realizing what just happened. Because I've read this twice, because I couldn't believe it.
This is crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. "How can anyone perform with a damaged face?" Yun Long and Yun Tai left the room, knowing that they'd escaped a sound beating by the skin of their teeth, and the new kid looked up at me with starry-eyed admiration. "You know, I was lying," he said. "Lying," I mumbled. "When I said I don't have nothing," he said, digging into his bag. He pulled out a handful of candy bars and gave me one of them. I tore one of them open and then winced as I tried to open my jaw wide enough to bite it.
God.
Poor kid.
"I think I'll just save this for later," I said.
Quick, have the book back. Yeah. I want to read this part. Save this for later. I said, "That's okay," said the new boy. "There's more where that came from. I just wanted to thank you, big brother." So now we're going to enter the part of why this fits so well with this Project A. That was the first time anyone had ever called me that. I smiled and led the new kid out of the room, feeling good despite the aching of my face. The funny thing is, the whole time, I never even knew the kid's name. And I didn't find out either until a few weeks later, when he received his traditional first dish of Zhai Zhang Ming. And then, it didn't matter, because he had a fresh name to replace it. From that point on, we knew him as Yun Bao, our newest little brother, and co-star of this movie with Yun Long and Jackie Chan.
Samo?
Yun?
Is it Samo?
Samo.
Okay, S-A-M-O?
Yeah.
Okay, I've never seen it spelled out.
So the three principal characters, it's not Yun Tai sucks dick, are all the stars of this movie.
So, who does he play?
He plays the head, he plays the rookie cop. I wrote his name down.
Oh, okay.
You mean the one who he fights in the bar at the beginning?
Yes. Mm-hmm. His name is Inspector Chi, or Chai.
Oh, yeah. He looks very familiar. Yeah,
he's been in other things, I think.
Is he the fat guy from the first two?
No. No.
Samo is typically the fat guy.
No. The fat, spoiled kid.
No.
Okay.
No.
He's not...
Yu Long is very handsome.
Have we seen him before?
I mean, it's possible, because when Samo and Jackie Chan do stunt coordination, they just will, pick people up that can do backflips and shit.
Okay.
And Yun Long is, what's his name? I just said it.
Yun Bao?
Yun Bao is, one of the best acrobats, if not, the best acrobat in the school.
Okay.
Like, while Jackie explains a little bit, and I might be jumping ahead, that he's sort of like the jack of all trades, where he's never really great at any one thing, but he's good at everything, and he's funny. Okay. Which is why he's such a good movie star, whereas, like, Yuen Bao is, like, the best acrobat, and Yuen Long is, like, an amazing martial artist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is interesting. Like, we're going to get to that in the next episode, actually, when we actually learn about his, the beginning of their train, like, acting training.
So not to get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
But that whole, him being the best acrobat.
Yeah.
Even though he becomes a chubster, a fatso.
No, that's Sammo.
That's Sammo.
Sammo's martial arts.
Oh, Sammo's the best martial arts.
Yeah. Yuen Long is martial arts.
Oh, okay.
Because he's
okay.
Chubby, he can't do barrel. He can do barrel rolls only. Okay. Also, he has... What's his haircut deal?
It's just a constant mushroom cut.
It's just a constant mushroom cut.
I think he has, like, a silly-looking haircut. Or, like, at that time... Who had a haircut? This is in the 80s?
This is Three Stooges, wasn't it?
It's kind of like Mo. Yeah, you're right, actually. It is sort of like Mo.
That's a good point. This definitely heavily borrows from that. And he much more than anyone else in these movies, is like such a comedic, like doofus.
Yeah.
That it's funny to see him fall and stuff like that.
Oh, totally.
So it would make sense that he takes one of the Stooges.
Yeah, so... Let's talk about, so now that we're actually into it, let's talk about Project A, and I'm going to read you what Jay Chan has to say about Project A. The sound of my flipping is great. It's 1983, so I just passed it. This will give a little bit of a synopsis as well. Project A, also known as Pirate Patrol. This is the first time all three of us brothers starred in a movie together. I play a marine named Dragon Ma, who gets assigned to the police force when a pirate gang destroys my fleet. Despite being stuck on land, I'm still intent on capturing the pirates. Frustrated by lack of support from my superiors, I join forces with a gambler played by Sammo and a rookie cop played by Yuen Bao. It's weird that Yuen Bao doesn't change his name when I think about it.
Yeah.
Like... Because that's everyone in the school was a Yoon.
Yeah.
And they all got new names. Jackie has several new names. In this film, I really began to focus on big stunts as well as martial arts. And as a result, Project A is packed full of dangerous action, like the famous clock tower jump, which is fucking insane.
Yeah.
I've long been a fan of stars of America's silent film era, like Buster Keaton, Harold Lloyd, and Charlie Chaplin. The clock tower jump is an homage to a similar stunt in Lloyd's Safety Last, although he did his stunt with the help of lighting and mirrors. Well, I actually fell several stories.
Humble brag.
I was in the middle of shooting Project A when some friends said they had just seen E.T. and that had a breathtaking bicycle scene. I got scared because I've been planning a bicycle scene in Project A too. How could I compete with Hollywood with all their fancy special effects? Of course, the bicycle scene in E.T. is very different from the bike chase in my movie. On the other hand, if you look at the motorcycle chase in Spielberg's Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, you might think Steven was inspired by Project A.
Mm.
That's what I'm saying. He's taking shots at Big Dick Steve.
Yeah.
Guys, if Steve Spielberg is found to be
a creep.
Oh my god. That would be horrible.
It's Hanks, Spielberg, Homer Simpson...
Sure, wait, is this a list of people who are creeps or who will never be creeps?
Who would be found? Who if they could be found? Who would be so shocking?
Oh my. Okay, Spielberg, Tom Hanks,
Jackie Chan, obviously.
Jackie Chan.
I would be very surprised if Denzel was a creep.
No, I think he's creep.
What?
He's not. He's dirty.
What?
There's no way you're that good looking and you haven't crossed some lines.
So just all the good looking people are. Creeps?
Yes.
The Rock?
No.
No, I think he's just too dedicated to working out. Like, if he didn't go to the gym so often, maybe, but...
What about George Clooney?
He's a creep already.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if something from his younger days...
I think he's like a Jeter creep
it's
well known.
His wife is super cool now.
Why would he star in The Ides of March, then?
What is that?
Why would Louis make a movie about himself?
Wait, what does The Ides of March have to do with?
Because it's about a dude who bangs an intern
who like is a creep and is like a bad dude and like
He, like, yeah, he has an affair with an intern, and she ends up, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. For the end of March. From 2009. I also started,
he ends up, like, she ends up, like, falling in love with him, and she, like, gets his abortion and then kills herself. And he's like this great Democratic senator who's possibly going to win the presidency.
He's like a regular...
it's a good movie.
It's a great movie.
It's got a Goss in it.
It does.
It's got RG1. Yeah.
And everyone's favorite, who, rest in peace...
Philip Seymour?
Philip.
Oh, he's in that?
He was clean, I bet. Aside from his drug addiction, that's a clean bean.
You think so?
Yeah.
What about your other favorite, who's also dead?
James Gandolfini?
Yeah.
Clean bean.
Yeah. Clean bean?
Clean bean. He was married forever, and he was, like, very depressed. He was, like, a very depressed person forever. Guys, this is not possible Hollywood rapist talk. This is a Project A talk. What did you guys think of the movie? Just initial impression.
It was great.
It was
fucking awesome.
It was great and definitely the best movie we've watched so far.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I know last week when we were talking about it, it was mentioned that this is like the first like Jackie Chan movie.
Yeah.
And I'm really like I'm seeing it a lot. Like this movie has a lot of the aspects that make like the Hollywood Jackie Chan movies great.
Also, it looked so good.
Yeah.
It like actually looked like all the other movies have varying degrees of
production
design.
Yeah.
This was amazing at points. Yeah. Like there are such keen details and rooms look so good. Yeah. And even the camera work is great.
And like the colors are like perfect.
Yeah.
It's a legit great movie. Yeah. Like this is not just a good Jackie Chan movie. Like this is a super funny, super good action movie that stands the test of time for sure.
Yeah. We I don't know if we mentioned it before, but we all sat around in this bunker all together watching this movie. We got a special internet that no one could track, and we watched this on Amazon.
Thanks Edward Snowden.
Big up E-Dog.
So we did that, and like there was quite a lot of laughing during this movie, like throughout. Gasps.
There was so much audible, like holy shit, I can't believe that just happened. Like the stunt work in this is so intense and so painful looking. Yeah. It's like when I was a little kid watching wrestling and I was trying to figure out like how a choke slam wouldn't hurt.
Right.
Like I knew that it was fake, but I couldn't really comprehend how it was fake. This is even more so because
Yeah,
I think like this is the movie that makes me think that Jackie Chan's reputation in Hollywood is like understated.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. For what like the stunt work that he did.
He also was the Sammo was the stunt coordinator for this, which is interesting.
Oh yeah.
But Jackie directed it and wrote it. It says
really.
I don't believe he has a writing partner there. Honestly, he does like he writes these, but it's he kind of like tells his assistant. His assistant puts it down.
I feel like his writing is like wouldn't it be cool if we just did this stunt.
He like this dude's like asleep in front of a typewriter and he shakes him and it's like, hey, let's figure something out so I can fall off the building.
I feel like it's less so that they're like sitting and like I feel like if Jackie Chan's doing this, it kind of in my mind I see him as being like unhinged and frenetic about it. He's just like, oh, and then do this, and then, oh, and then we're gonna jump on that. It just seems like it's all, I just feel like,
Jackie was probably coked up at the time, right?
It's safe
to assume it's not, I know that he has a squeaky clean image to some extent, or tried to have one.
Yeah.
It's the early 80s, and he's a playboy big star at this point.
Yeah. Well, was he a playboy?
After Drunken Master and Snake and Eagle Shadow, he was, like, one of the biggest stars, if not the biggest star. Mm. Because he had two back-to-back juggernaut, what would be essentially $500 million hits.
Yeah.
He's like Chris Pratt post-Guardians of the Galaxy right now.
Mm.
That's how I'm
putting it. Jurassic World.
No, like, immediately post.
Okay.
Not before people realize that Pratt's a fraud.
Okay.
Chris Pratt's clean, I bet.
Ooh. I think that's only because...
I think he's a Republican.
Well, that's clean. I mean,
I'm not saying that. It doesn't mean he's not clean.
I think that's because he's only recently been given power. he used to be like a real chubster.
Yeah.
He was
yeah.
just like kind of like a nothing dude.
Yeah.
And I feel like he didn't have the
ability. Wait, we're getting off track again.
Oh, what are you say though? No, I agree. Yeah. Yeah, so he's like a big star. I do think he was probably coked up for a lot of the 80s. Yeah. And if we could get a hands on that tell-all memoir he has in Chinese. I think it's called something like Jackie Chan, My Life, Get Older But Stay As Young, or something like that.
Yeah. Wait, so it doesn't exist in English?
Does not exist in English.
Is it translated?
Why don't we just use Google Translate?
Because it's in...
It's a book.
It's a book, you fool.
There's no other...
What do you trans... Do you want to scan it?
No, I mean, like, you can't get it on the internet book. Like a book.
What?
Like, you can't...
What don't you understand? It's a book that's written in a different... No, with I different mean... symbols and stuff. It's not like... It's not English characters that are spelling out
yeah,
Chinese.
Google Translate can translate from all sorts of things.
So you want us to
so if
type
we,
in?
No, you not type it. Can't, isn't there like a, I don't know what, Kindle
I guess,
book?
I guess with Adobe, it is possible to take a screenshot of the page, highlight everything, copy it, put it in a translator, wait 5 minutes for that to load, get a very broken English version of it that wouldn't make any sense whatsoever, and then have... Me read it? It's like, I don't understand.
I'm just
There's
saying.
Nothing we can do.
I'm just saying. I'm trying to come up with solutions.
The solution I said is, I said I would buy it, and I want Sonny's parents to read it and tell him about each chapter, and then relay it back to him, or read it to him, and like we'll play it on the podcast.
I think I'm gonna look into some solutions for this. I'm gonna see if I can translate this book.
There's no way. You had a hard time reading the book I gave you. Well, I saw you losing your finger like how little kids read.
I don't use my finger.
You were doing this.
I was trying to
try to keep your place. I know it's late. We're all tired.
Yeah, we're burning some midnight all right, oil.
So this movie is essentially about like discord within the Hong Kong Navy and police force in the late 19th century, which is a pretty lofty concept.
Yeah,
like most of the movies.
Really interesting setting and time period. Like, how did they think of?
He writes about it in the book a little bit, but he doesn't get really into it in a good way. He's just saying that they thought it was interesting and.
Well, it's very specific because it like. It touches upon British imperialism of Hong Kong.
Yeah,
but like it doesn't really explore it at all.
Yeah,
no.
It kind of, when you say touches on it, you mean it exists in the universe.
Yeah, there are
but
white
in,
characters.
But there's no, I guess the only thing that really, I guess there's a critique of it later on when we, like, get it towards the end.
I mean, they're comically rich white people on boats.
I write that they're on, like, white people pleasure yachts the whole time. It feels like that, at least to me.
But before the white people pleasure yacht, which is in like the last half of the movie, we just see like the I don't remember what his name is, the commissioner,
the mustache guy.
he's in charge being as the British guy, but we don't see him do anything like bad.
He doesn't really it's this movie seems to not take a stance about imperialism as much as it has to do kind of like with police story, like bureaucracy and the issues that are stemming from it, like
and corruption a little bit,
and corruption, which honestly, like, this movie could have been done not in an action way and in sort of like a talky sort of way, like a Charlie Wilson's War.
Yeah.
Why is that what I went to for what this would be? But fucking really interesting. And I think that really helped the movie that I cared what happened to these characters.
Because
mostly it's just, you're here for the stunts.
I thought, so the story begins. We find out that the Navy is going to be going out on kind of an excursion to try and deal with the pirate problem they've been having.
Mm-hmm.
And the people at the top, the commissioner and the head of the Navy and the head of the police force are all having a meeting and they don't get along. then cut to...
They're arguing about, like, budgets.
It's a very complex structure.
I didn't know what was happening in the first
season. I didn't know how they were all related.
Yeah.
Well, they're also arguing about the fact that the Navy is incompetent. Yeah, well, not incompetent, but, like, unsuccessful and constantly losing ships.
Wasn't there, like, a line or something where it's, like, if the Navy... Like, it... I don't even remember. It's like, if the Navy is on, is like, if you are as good as protecting, like, the water, it would be safer to walk on land or something. I can't even remember what it was. It's hard with the dub.
Yeah.
But we quickly find out, after this whole scene, we quickly find out that Jackie is in the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
And I am just going to put it out there. We finally get a good dub actor to play Jackie Chan.
Yeah, who is that actor?
Jackie Chan.
Yeah. we're I'm 95% sure it's Jackie Chan.
Yeah,
it sounds like him, and it's him.
He has an accent.
Yeah,
I think it's Jackie's accent.
I don't think you would have somebody do your voice acting in a dub if, and then have them do it kind of poorly if it wasn't you.
Yeah.
But yeah, and his character's name I wrote is Dragon.
Dragon Ma, I think.
Dragon Ma.
Which is an awesome name.
Good name.
I wonder if it means what I think it means. Probably not. Doesn't mean Dragon Mother. Doesn't Ma mean mother?
Khaleesi.
What's mother in Chinese?
It's Ma. Yeah. It's Ma with a specific tone.
But oh. Yeah. So it's not.
Could.
It's like a master of arts. In this case. Yeah. He gets like... How many movies have we seen with Jackie Chan where he gets in trouble immediately, like, in a group of people?
And it's always him, like, being a doofus.
Yeah.
That starts it.
He hates the rigidity of these classes that he has to take.
Yeah. But he loves to be a class clown.
Yeah. I wrote that he's so cheeky. He's such a little cheeky monkey.
The first big set piece is the bar.
Oh, yeah. Such a good fight. This is in Jackie Chan's list of his favorite fights.
Oh, yeah?
Of all time.
There's a lot of good, like, symmetry moments in this movie.
Yeah.
Things are just, like, choreographed.
Wes Anderson took a lot. Yeah.
There's also a really good line about, why are you all wearing such long faces?
Yeah. I do remember that.
That's so weird.
Good translation.
If you have the ability to dub it over in English, why would you do broken English in a dub? It doesn't make any sense.
In this scene, it was just so weird. During the beginning, the setup to the big fight, there's so many lines in the way it's dubbed. It almost reminded me of a Mystery Science Theater 3000 episode, the way that they make fun of, like...
What dubs. Do you mean?
Poor dubs, or they make... I don't know. There was just something about the cadence and about the conversation between everybody that it just reminded me of that.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
It's like I don't know. Maybe it wasn't really there, but
I feel like it was more like that the first few movies we saw. Especially the Sneaking Eagle Shadow.
Because there was almost no plot that needed to be conveyed. Yeah. And the dialogue sort of mattered and
okay. Well, I think just in that one scene I got vibe.
Sure.
Like, but this scene, before the fight still, we get Jackie Chan literally saying he doesn't want any trouble.
Yeah, we don't want any trouble, which is the first, maybe it's the only time he says it.
Yeah, maybe,
in all
maybe.
Of his movies. No, he definitely says it. In Rush Hour he says it after he says the N-word. Which does happen.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. He tells
in a bar, right?
Yeah, he tells a joke to a bartender or something. Okay. Or he's like, I'm not even going to say it, but...
Cause yeah, we'll don't get, say we'll, it.
Rush Hour will be like our 100th episode or something like that. Or the next one, who knows. And he says it and it starts a whole fight. It's like, I don't want any trouble.
Yeah, okay. I remember this.
Real comedy of manners.
But this fight scene is spectacular.
It's the best fight scene so far we saw in any of these movies.
Yeah.
It's like dancey almost.
Yeah, it's like super cool and coherent because the uniforms separate everyone.
Yeah.
And like Jackie and his...
And Yun Bao.
Yun Bao, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Jackie and Yun Bao are like having the big boss fight while all of the henchmen are fighting each other. And it's like also... super funny the whole time. There's like a whole big thing between Jackie and Yun Bao where they're pretending that the other one's not really hurting them when they are punching each other, and then they'll just like both lose each other for a second and be like, ow, 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 my fingies! And then go back like they're tough.
Yeah.
It's really, really funny. Like, this is definitely, I think, the funniest Jackie movie we've seen so far.
Yeah, he's definitely come into his kung fu, martial arts, comedy, like, combination.
Yeah, and I think for the most part, the stunts integrated into the plot a lot better than he did. Except in the beginning where that shot where he's walking along the balcony catwalk.
He's just walking outside.
And he's, like, in a hurry. But there's guys blocking him, so he just, like, does a little jump to the side.
Your jump spin move. Like, just to show you. That's why I said the same thing in Police Story, when he, like, hops that rail. Like, there's some things where he's just like, I want to show that I can do this.
Yeah.
I'm really good at this shit.
I want them to know it's Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just, like, the expert establishment shot. You're just like, it's like, the only reason why you as an audience member would know that Jackie Chan is, like, skilled in martial arts and gymnastics is that you're going into the movie knowing that he's skilled in it, like Jackie Chan is. So this is just the shot to establish the character as being skilled.
Oh, totally. So, I can see that. Yeah, it's like it'd be weird if that was it. Like, that makes sense to me, but it's like a screenwriting technique is that you establish value within, like, the first couple pages, and it's just like, oh, if somebody is... It's like the save the cat idea. Yeah. Like, oh, they are a moral person or this, but in Jackie's case, it's he can do front flips.
Yeah. But the only reason why you feel like it's unnecessary is because Jackie Chan, you know him.
Yeah.
But if you replaced him with any other actor, it would be necessary to have that in there.
Yeah. I almost think it would be more effective if we didn't know it. It's just like all of a sudden. Because, I don't know. It's fine.
I mean, none of his movies give an explanation to why he could do these things.
Why that's is not important. So good at this stuff.
Why is not important. Yeah. The fact that he can is only thing that matters.
Yeah. So the Hong Kong police and the sailors have this fucking, like, super great fight. Oh, I even love the scene when the guy gets punched and his head hits the record player and it plays, like, tense music because of it.
Yeah.
And then everyone, like, pauses to, like, see what's happening. And then when the music starts, they continue fighting. This is 100% a movie everyone's listening to this needs to watch.
Yeah.
Just because I can't believe it's not on, like, every list of action movies.
Yeah.
I really... Crazy. I agree with that 100%. And I will say, like, I don't think any of the other movies we've watched so far, I would say that about.
Yeah.
You don't have to watch any of those.
I think I would say fully...
Drunken Master, I think you want.
Yeah, I would say...
You could. This one I would actually recommend to, like, everyone.
I feel comfortable recommending this movie to someone that doesn't really like movies in a way.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't have, like, the... The pursuit of, like, oh, I want to know about movies. Like, this is a fun movie. Watch it on a Sunday.
Yeah.
You'll probably like it.
Yeah, I agree.
Is there something in the book about this fight, or is it just the list?
It's just him sort of talking about what it's like. He said it was pretty much, he tried to choreograph it as close to a real barroom fight as possible, which is true, because there's, like, shit flying everywhere.
There's chairs and glasses. Yeah.
There's a lot of misdirection.
The broken glasses work was really good.
Yeah, the broken glasses work. But after the fight, they all get accosted by
the police. Only the sailors do.
Yeah.
Because the police, when the people who come to arrest everybody show up, they're all police officers.
Yeah.
So they don't arrest their own. They only arrest the sailors. And we find out that kind of the police are the ones who really are, like, in charge at this scene.
Yeah.
So
then they just shut down the Navy.
Yeah. Well, do you guys remember what the line was? Yeah, they shut down the Navy and they...
No, that's not why they shut down the Navy. They let the Navy go.
Yeah.
The Navy is going to go on their big excursion
to fight
pirates.
Right.
Yeah.
And then while they're showing off, they're doing their, like, grand send-off.
Yeah.
We, like, cut to two of their ships being blown up.
By the pirates.
By the pirates that are about to go out and find.
What's the direct line that the guy says? I think I wrote
it down.
I don't know.
So, It's like right when they found out that all of their shit's been destroyed, the one guy, I think his name is actually Jaw or Jaws or Chin, he goes, "Bad news, we're cops now."
Yeah.
And now every
sailor,
fucking member of the Navy is now part of the police force.
Yeah, and their big commander, like the guy who they respect, and like
Chai,
he can really like get stuff done and get people to like listen to him.
He was good.
He was good.
Yu Bao was good.
Oh no, not him. The Navy commander.
Oh yeah, he was good too.
Yu Bao played, I think, his nephew or son.
Wait, were they brothers?
No, I think it was nephew.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was somehow related to him. Like,
because he was like, at the end of the bar fight, he was like, "Get out of here quietly."
Yeah. Whatever.
No, that was his son. He kept on calling him Fob.
Oh, then
wait,
yeah.
No, maybe was he calling him uncle?
I don't know.
He's somehow, he's...
He's definitely older.
He's son or nephew. He's definitely an old dude.
I meant the head of the Navy.
Okay,
The head of the Navy has been, like, now he's in charge of, like...
Event plan.
So he's been displaced. We have Jackie now is going through like basic training and, and getting his butt handed to him.
Yeah.
They also, during basic training, because they don't like Yun Bao.
Yeah. Try to murder him.
somebody replaces a hand grenade with fake one. The real one. And then he like throws it at the whole group of the cadets and they all jump out of the way.
Yeah.
It explodes and then they never talk about it again.
Yeah, there are no repercussions.
Yeah, there's no repercussions. It felt like a shoehorned in Chekhov's gun moment.
Kind of. Oh, we're forgetting where Yun Bao says that they should murder that guy who said he had the big mouth.
Oh.
Because they're mouthing off. At some point, and this one guy is laughing. He's like, "Why are you doing that? Who's making that noise?" He goes, "Me. I have a large mouth, and I make a lot of noise with it." And he just
shoot him.
He says, "So just murder him. Go just shoot this guy." But he passed out from fear before he could, so he didn't do it.
Yeah. So, oh no! I thought that was the whole point of it. I thought they did it to
scare him.
To scare him, and I don't think they were gonna actually shoot him. I think they would have shot him.
Yeah.
Even if he passed out. Like, why does it matter to them?
Honor. We've learned a lot about... That was, like, a bunch of things in this movie where Jackie Chan's like, "I did it because of honor."
Why wouldn't they just wake him up?
I don't know. No time. They got others. Probably they shot a bunch of cadets that day. We don't know. We don't know what happens off screen.
Also, so... I don't understand what the relationships with the women in this movie are.
They're
just very colorful.
Oh, that woman Wendy... Is
the Navy guy's daughter.
Okay. Yeah. And then, I guess her friend just isn't in it.
After. Yeah.
No, oh yeah, because they're in the bar scene at the beginning.
They're in the bar scene, and then they're the reason in the training scene. Those two guys had to say, to repeat that.
They just brought her in so it could pass the Bechdel test.
Yeah. I don't think
it did. I don't know if her friend had dialogue.
Yeah.
They tried.
Does the Bechdel test work if it's one woman talking to another woman about something that's not a man, but the other woman doesn't say anything? That woman doesn't even have a close-up. It's just like a wide shot.
Well, I think they were trying. They made an attempt at the Bechdel test.
I think they wanted some eye candy. Guys, none of these women are fat enough for me. I'm just going to say.
Well, those two cadets who are talking about the women who get in trouble for it say that one of them is beautiful.
Yeah.
So they were talking about her, the daughter.
By Wendy, I know.
So they couldn't have...
There's no eye candy for me in this. I honestly think Yun Bao is the best thing that got my dick moving in this fucking movie. Just because he's got such a good posture and hair.
Got a good face.
Yeah.
Sanpo.
Oh my god. The best.
Sanpo's great. Sanpo is the pirate commander who is covered in tattoos, and I don't know if he gives the best performance or if his voice actor gives the best performance.
I think it's a combination.
But he's really great at kung fu, and his physical, even just acting, is really, really good.
Yeah.
He was terrific. I wish he was, probably playing Sammo's role. Because Sammo was fine, but kind of unspectacular in my opinion.
I thought he was really cool, and he kind of sounded, his voice kind of reminded me of, I can't remember if it's Cheech or Chong,
but I thought he sounded kind of like Machete a little bit, honestly.
Oh, like Danny Trejo?
Yeah. It was probably voiced by a Hispanic gentleman or Latino fellow.
Possibly. I don't know who. I don't know which one. I know the one with the long hair, not the one with the curly.
That's Chong. You're thinking of Chong. Tommy Chong is the long
hair. Okay.
Cheech Marin is the little.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So
why did they even call Mark Maron Cheech Marin? Just wondering. Oh my God! What if there was a fucking thing that was like it was Marin, the TV show, and I've seen, but it followed Cheech Marin instead.
I would watch it.
I would fucking watch it in a second. Get us on the phone with Hollywood, guys.
We got ideas.
We don't just talk about who does and doesn't do inappropriate things. We come up with ideas. Yeah. So Jackie becomes like a member of the police force, and they're going to do a bust on, what did I say his name was? Chu? Chin Ho,
yeah.
Yeah.
It goes poorly, to say the least, for everybody. Jackie Chan wants trouble in this, because they start a big old fight.
He comes in with a nice little beret thingy.
Well, Jackie gets in trouble in the end of this, mm-hmm. because, like, the police come, the owner of the club, the owner of the club is
I can't remember his name,
but he, like, he denies that he's harboring a fugitive.
Yeah.
And Jackie proves that he is in fact harboring a fugitive.
Yeah, which starts a huge brawl.
He gets his man,
mm-hmm.
and
it's stair stunts.
Oh fuck yeah! We have to talk. I think that was almost as impressive as the clock tower one, just where Jackie kicks him down. Like they're on the top of a fucking like spiral staircase or something. Kicks the dude off of it. It's probably like a 15-foot drop.
Yeah.
Goes through a table, and then Jackie just jumps down himself to prove that. I kind of think that. I think he does have that ideology of, I won't ask my stuntmen to do anything that I wouldn't do myself.
Right. Yeah.
Which is very admirable, but that's fucking awesome. That's such a good stunt.
That scene also, I think, reminds me of the Matrix Reloaded scene.
Totally.
Yeah. I think they stole a lot from that.
Yeah, where they fight the
the twins.
Damn, that was a really good scene. There's so, like, I think this movie probably has like 2 or 3 of the best scenes we've seen of him before.
Yeah, definitely.
And like that's even with some of the great Drunken Master stuff. Yeah. And, like, damn, it's just really
like, it's
exciting.
Just a bigger scale.
Yeah.
Of set pieces or
the camera work is such a crucial part of this too. That like this movie really knew how to shoot it. He really knew how to shoot this shit.
Yeah,
really shows, and I think that as we get further along the filmography, like into the late 80s, early 90s, there hopefully will all be like this, sort of, to not be like ethnocentric, like Hong Kong cinema kind of catches up with how aggressive action movies are shot.
Yeah,
but not even just that, I think Jackie is just really learning his place as a director, and like
I think that's like part of what he writes that he takes away from Western cinema, that like he's impressed by the way they do things, but he doesn't necessarily think so. He like takes the right lessons from them but applies his own thinking to it.
He hates how lazy it is, he says. He like doesn't like how they cut, but he does enjoy, like, he understands how to spend money to like get things. He understands the value of a good shot, and I think a story too. But he was always like, I don't understand why any of my American movies do well, because the stunts are usually bad. Like, because they're shot in a day instead of 6 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
You remember in Police Story where he does that pencil trick? Like, when he's answering those
phones?
It's like a pencil flip. It took him, like, 2 weeks to do that. They just tried it every day, and he couldn't fucking do it. It took, like, 500 tries
for
him to do that. Holy shit.
Yeah, he's unbelievably dedicated.
There's a scene in this one where he's in the clock tower, and he, like, flips the axe a bunch of times.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was... I guess that must have been real.
It's real. I don't think he would do anything that wasn't real at this point.
Yeah.
I think we're also prime age Jackie for stunts, because he's probably, like, early 30s, late 20s at this point, and he's, like, confident enough
Late 20s?
Well, he's born in, like, 50... 51 or 54, and it's 83. So he's either 29? 31 or, yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Wow. It's, he does not look 29.
No, he's...
He looks older.
Ooh, he's been through some, he's been through some shit.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah.
He's been through really bad stuff. He probably looked 29 when he was 11 years old.
He looks probably peak attractive, Jackie.
He's really handsome as well.
Yeah, he's good.
Dude, lighting is so crucial. Yeah, he's like, just fucking light your stars and they look good.
Yeah.
Okay, let's speed through the rest of this synopsis.
Yeah, let's do this. So, Jackie is like, pretty much quits the force.
Yeah.
Because,
which is illegal, apparently.
Which is illegal because...
It's desertion.
Because he doesn't like how they're going to let this person go. Because why exactly were they going to... Not why were they going to let him go? I was kind of confused as to why.
Well, I thought
no
they
warrant.
Were... Yeah, right.
Because
he ripped it up.
He literally didn't have a warrant because he showed the guy the warrant.
And he ripped it up.
The guy took it out of his hand and ripped it.
Yeah. He fights Chan Ho anyway, whoops his ass, is where we get that cool stunt. And then we have to talk about Fats, which is Sammo. I know we have to speed through this, but we gotta talk Fats, which is Jackie's like, do we know exactly how they know each other? They were just like criminals
in
the past?
Yeah, they hinted at certain dealings.
Yeah, they probably grew up as friends and got into trouble together.
Jackie's a scamp, so I could believe that in the past. Yeah. So Sammo, pretty much overhears... Oh, the main plot of this movie really has to do with guns.
Yeah.
And, like...
Selling rifles to the pirates.
Yeah, it's that the police... It's the police, right?
Yeah.
Are selling rifles to the pirates for money. Sammo tells Jackie this, and they're gonna, like, steal the rifles to make it so the pirates won't have them so that they can hopefully strike back at the pirates. It gets real fucking confused and flouncy. Because, like, Sammo is in it for himself, and Jackie's a nice boy, and he doesn't want that. He doesn't want that kind of trouble. I don't know. Sammo is... He didn't do it for me in this. It wasn't my guy.
He always surprises me with his movement.
Yeah?
I see him do things.
Yeah.
When he was on those logs?
Yeah, the log stuff was crazy.
I thought it was very impressive that he was doing all this crazy footwork and stuff. He doesn't seem like he can do all the stunts that he can.
That's what Jackie says about him in the book, is like, he's even with him being like, and he gains extra weight from like where we are now. He gains an enormous amount of weight after an injury. And he's like, he was still like the best. It's just that he wouldn't be allowed on stage because he was too fat. It didn't matter that he was the most talented one of us.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's tough stuff. But then we get a big chase scene, which leads us to the clock tower, which is, who wants to talk about this?
I'll talk about it. So he's fighting with one of the henchmen inside
On
like
the henchman. Yeah, pirate hench.
Well, not a pirate.
He's
hench.
Like a mob pirate.
He's like the mafia like works
with the pirates.
Sure. So he's a mob henchman.
Okay. Yeah.
He's fighting with him on like the gears.
Yeah.
And he gets knocked out
of
the clock tower, and he's like holding on. I'll just say that I'm pretty sure he does like this exact same thing in, spoiler alert, Shanghai Nights.
Possible. I do remember there being clock stunts.
There's a clock tower stunt that happens in much the same way.
Yeah.
But he's holding on to the clock tower for dear life.
Yeah.
And he's about to get shot by one of the henchmen.
Yeah.
That henchman gets shot in the head
by
Yun Long.
Yeah.
Yun Bao. And Yun Bao is just like, oh, hold on for one more second.
I can't.
And then
Jackie falls through two canopies, is it? Like,
To
slow his fall. I assume if those canopies are there, he would die.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or, like, break every bone. He hits these two canopies, and in what is one of the more perplexing things... There's two shots where I think they just used, for some reason, they played back-to-back things of him falling, where one is he lands, what looks to be, on his neck.
Yeah.
And then the next one, it's a more clean landing.
Yeah.
He actually writes about it in his book. There were three times that he did it.
Oh, my God.
With no other way to let get down other than fall, Eleko and Chris through a series of cloth canopies before smashing to the ground. I had to do this one three times because I wasn't satisfied with the way it looked. Trust me, I wouldn't want to do this a fourth time.
So how did he do that? How did he fall and not die? It literally looked like he fell on his neck.
Or shoulder.
Like, does he wear protective things?
No, I don't think so.
So he just falls through canopies onto the... That's crazy.
It's very stretchy.
He could die.
It didn't look like it, though. It looked like paper.
Yeah, they didn't look like they slow as falling.
Yeah.
Well, I guess when you fall from that high...
Is it possible that he had, wires above him that, kind of slowed it? But I don't think he would do that. I think he probably was fuck it, I've done worse. He had a whole career as a stuntman before this, so maybe he had done something similar.
That's insane to me that he actually did that. If you don't watch this... And to get up to the clock tower to begin with, he does an awesome scene.
He climbs up a fucking pole.
Yeah, think Mulan, where Mulan uses the metals to hoist herself up on the top of the
pole. I think this was easier than what Mulan did, probably.
No.
Yeah.
Because
he's a man.
He's
got more body strength.
No, the reason... he didn't take metals that he was holding in his hand.
Right, but he didn't need, it doesn't matter if he was handcuffed. He could have done that if he wasn't handcuffed.
He could have climbed the
pole. He could have just climbed
it. I thought he used the chains.
No, that makes it unnecessarily hard.
Yeah.
I think you have better grasp of it with both of your hands.
To be honest, it is a cloth handcuff. They're not metal handcuffs.
Oh, is it? I thought they were...
The connective tissue, I didn't know if it was metal or not. I thought it was a metal. Rope. It was? The connective was?
I mean,
if it wasn't metal, then he could have broken out of it when he's on the machine.
Yeah, yeah. I remember because he was with the axe; it was metal.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, metal on metal is more slippery than skin on metal.
I thought he used the it looked like he was using the handcuffs.
Whatever, maybe. It's fucking awesome. He scales in a huge flagpole,
30 feet.
Yeah.
And then jumps from the flagpole to the roof.
Yeah.
Which then takes him to the clock tower where there's a fight where he wins the fight and then he fucking falls to what should be his death. And that's pretty much where the second act ends. And we get to the conclusion, which is the pirates raid of white guy.
Right? White pleasure.
White pleasure ship. I wrote. And capture the Navy man.
Mm-hmm.
A British
Navy. A rear admiral.
A rear admiral. Yeah.
And he was admiral in some
rear. And Jackie has to go save the admiral's rear.
Yeah.
So they... I actually don't know what, happens. He sneaks in through the chimney to listen to the white guy admiral.
To learn the plan. Because the white guy admiral is going to sell the guns to the pirates to leverage... Getting the rear admiral. And then Jackie scolds him for about how corruption and how we can't have nice things pretty much because everyone is out for themselves.
Yeah.
Which is, fair. Yeah. It's not really reinforced that much in this movie, but it's cool that they state the thesis statement.
And and then he gives them, he's like, all right, the Navy's back, I guess.
Yeah, he gives them money now because Jackie's going to do the right thing. I wrote that this guy sounds the white guy sounds like the character Katatafish in South Park from an episode that is involving a hamster up Mr. Slave's ass, if anyone knows.
I remember that episode. Yeah. I don't remember that character.
It's like a secret, the mice, rats of Nim or whatever parody.
Oh, okay.
He sounds like Katatafish.
The Lemmy Winks.
Lemmy Winks.
The Lemmy Winks episode.
Yeah. But then Jackie breaks in and pretty much just comes in with a white fucking... He comes in with a white tuxedo with a monocle and a big top hat. I think by the time this is out, we should probably post this at some place so people can see what we're talking about.
Because he has this... Or the reason why he has this monocle top hat is because he and the other police officers take in and beat the shit out of the head of the mafia.
Yeah.
And then Jackie goes to impersonate him.
Yeah, and they don't know what he looks like.
Yeah, none of the pirates and the mafia work together, but they don't really interact except on, a low-level basis.
Kind of like the Hong Kong police and the Navy. Think about it. We have a movie from this other perspective.
So he goes, like passes the test.
Yeah.
Like by like treating the guy on the junk in like by treating him like crap.
Yeah.
And that makes it, it's like, oh yeah, you would say that.
Yeah.
That passes the test.
Yeah.
So he gets taken to Pirate Cove. And
frees the captains pretty much. Like
Yeah,
it starts the. It's a rescue mission from there on. I just mentioned to Sonny when Jordan was in the bathroom because he peed during this. It looks a little bit like the scene from Sicario where they're going through the caves.
Okay.
But I don't think Sicario took it from this. There's probably a million other ones, but that was the most recent one to come to mind.
So he signals the rest of the Navy once he gets the pirate
with a bird.
Yeah,
he sends a bird
that he kept in his top hat. A lot of weird.
This picture, him with that was probably in a funny movie. Him wearing that fucking top hat is one of the best things. He also has a fake little pencil mustache that he has on.
Like, not necessary. Like, did these pirates have that one detail? Oh, by the way.
This guy got a pencil mustache. And he also dresses like what a poor person thinks a rich man dresses like. So Jackie and company have a big showdown with all the pirates. A bunch of like little minutia stuff happens, but once the guys are free, like it's pretty much just how is Jackie and Sampo gonna fight?
Yeah.
And they end up killing him, Sampo, after like a really great fight scene by stuffing him in a rug and throwing a grenade into the rug and exploding his body.
Sampo also almost died in
this. Yes.
Because the grenade was in there before he was
pulled. Yeah, yeah, dude, pulled out.
I thought that scene, it was a fight scene between like first it started with all the pirates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Against Jackie and all the police officers and Navy people.
Yeah.
And Sampo.
Who's pretending to be a pirate this whole time.
And they're like throwing grenades willy-nilly.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like
just any hallway, they're just throwing grenades into them.
They're probably killing like 6 or 7 pirates each time.
We also see blood in this movie, which is rare.
Yeah.
You see like a entry wound of a bullet in the head.
Yeah.
Which, sorry, I just wanted to add that.
Yeah.
But all the knife scenes, all the times that we see like stabs with like by the pirates, it's all like close-ups.
Yeah.
It, like, instead of like showing them actually stabbing, it's just close-up on a stomach and then a knife.
It's
going
probably
into
like
it.
They put clothes on a ham and stab the ham.
Yeah,
so it looked like it. I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. But as soon as, much like every single one of these movies, as soon as they're freed. There's one shot which we get a little bit of an epilogue with all of them on a raft, like not knowing how to get home because they're on the pirate island. And then just freeze frames, end of movie. Like, maybe 45 seconds after the main batch, I guess.
Yeah.
And I thought the end scene, not the epilogue, the last fight was really cool.
Yeah, it was really
just
cool.
Just like, Sampo,
I think he reminds me of Brock Lesnar.
Yes, okay. He totally does.
I could say a drunken
Brock
Lesnar.
He's the beast incarnate.
Yeah.
A drunk Brock. I don't know. Brock Lesnar doesn't talk as much as him.
Yeah.
I'd say he's more, I don't know, I don't want to get into wrestling talk, it's very late.
I thought he was really cool. I would love to see him in other Jackie Chan
I
want to
see a Sampo prequel, where it's just like him coming to power.
I would love to see that.
I looked up the actor himself. He's got a Wikipedia page, so I think he has some of his own movies.
Jackie, cool. if you're out there listening, we're interested in a...
He might be dead, though.
Like a Project minus A.
Well, there's Project B and Project C.
But I mean like a prequel. Like a Sampo prequel.
Project S.
Project S. I'm fine with that. That'd be cool. Guys, what's your final... how many... Jack, don't want any troubles out of 5, would you give this?
I give it a 4.75.
I was thinking the exact same thing. 4.75, 4.8.
Yeah.
We can't give a 4.8. That's so insane.
What?
So that's like too much minutia involved. If you're going to give a 4, you might as well give it a 5.
Okay, I'll give it a 4.75.
Okay.
I thought it was great. A lot of fun. Definitely enjoying seeing Jackie become a better director and actor getting a better dub.
I'm probably going to change mine to a 4.5 because the plot was kind of hard to follow.
Okay. Guys, I'm giving it 5. Don't want any troubles.
Yeah, 5. I think I'm okay with that.
I honestly think that, like, we're out of the movies that we're gonna get. I don't know if we're going to get a better movie than this for a long time. Mm-hmm. This was probably better than The Foreigner, which I saw not too long ago, and is, like, very interesting, Chan, that I would give near there. And until we touch, like, the golden age of Chan, like Super Cop and, like, the late 90s stuff that we all love so much, that is kind of what we know for, this is probably the tip of the pits.
Well, we're already the tip of the pits. We're already in 1983, so how far can we be from...
Oh, he makes a shit ton of movies.
Does he?
He makes a lot of movies.
Okay, so we got a lot.
We got a long way to... He makes sequels to everything. Yeah. Like, we probably have, if we're just doing the movies that we've done and sequels, like 30 movies.
Until Rush Hour?
There's 5 police stories.
Oh my God.
There's 3 Rush Hours.
Yeah.
There's 2 Shanghai Noons. Wow. There's like 4 or 5 of these.
Really?
Yeah.
There's a bunch of Apparition Condors.
Yeah, there's a ton. We could just do the chronology of Chan movies that are just one after another, and it would take probably a year. We'd have a year of content.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, there, and we'll only get more. Yeah, so I'm giving this the first 5 of this podcast. I really loved this movie and was so impressed by... pretty much everything.
I agree. I just can't give it a 5.
That's fine.
I don't think it's a perfect movie.
I bet after like 5 more of these, you're going to be like, I should be giving things 5s now. Because it's really hard to make a perfect movie.
Yeah. No, that's true.
Yeah. Like, this to me is a top tier action film. So I'll give it a 5.
I agree. And like it was said before, this is a movie that not just for Jackie Chan fans, I would recommend. If you hate action movies, then sure, I'm not going to recommend it to you.
Yeah.
But, like, I just think this is a great action movie. It's a pretty good dub. Like,
yeah, it's funny dub, too.
Yeah.
It's coherent and funny. All right, we're going to do what we do every time. Stop doing that. It's probably getting picked up on Mike this whole time. He's just been playing with tinfoil, and I wasn't smart enough to tell you to stop.
No, I stopped.
So, we're going to play a game that we always play at the end to decide who's going to suck whose dick in front of Jackie Chan when we finally meet him. We were talking in the car ride before if we get sued, which we might, the person will have to fillet the other in front. They will. Or we'll get the privilege of, we would say, rather. So we're going to play a game called Chan I Am, which I believe we played last week.
We did. And just if you're listening for the first time in this episode...
pause the podcast, listen to the first 3, and then come right back down.
But also, the way that this game works is that Chan I Am, the first 2 clues or hints about this person are just facts about Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
And then the 3rd is the only clue or fact that's pertinent to the other person.
It's pretty much to make a Jackie Chan, like, almost portmanteau.
Right.
So, like, for instance, last week, one of the ones that we did was, like, I'm the star of Project A. My mother was abandoned by my father when he went to Australia. And I'm the star of Step Up to the Streets.
Jackie Chan and Tatum.
It was just Channing Tatum. Channing Tatum.
Oh, I thought we have to say the whole thing.
No, we're just going to do
it. Because sometimes it would be at the end.
Yeah, we're just going to do the pun.
Yeah.
Okay.
You guys both know the rules.
Yeah.
They'll figure out the rules soon enough. It's complicated, but not that complicated.
Okay.
I was born in Hong Kong.
Okay.
I speak many languages.
Okay.
Chinese is one of them. And I recorded the song Jump in the 80s. Go ahead, jump, jump.
No, I don't know
that song. Okay. I thought you were talking about House of Pain.
No, no. All right, I'm going to say I'm not 6 feet tall.
Okay.
I played Dragon Ma in this movie, and I made the song Hot for Teacher in the 80s.
Chan Halen?
Yeah. Sonny's got the point, and we were tied after last week.
Yeah. We were.
Sonny's now in the Chan.
Is that the only one we're doing this
week? No, we're going to do one more.
Okay.
Chan
Halen. I like that.
Let's see. I wrote the book, I Am Chan. I don't write the Jackie Chan ones beforehand, if you can't tell.
Okay, yeah.
I used to smoke cigarettes, but I didn't want people to know that. That's one. And I also came up with a popular story circle that people won't stop talking about.
I am Chan Harmon.
Yeah!
Fuck.
Sonny, you are the winner of today's...
Oh my god.
I am Chan. Chan I am.
Chan I am.
It's a good thing we have so many movies left.
Yeah. To catch up, but right now, Jordan, you're essentially getting shut out.
4-2.
4-2. Guys, that's been Chansplaining, the podcast where Chansplain Jackie Chan to people. This was a good episode, guys. I really love this movie.
Yeah,
it was fun
too.
To watch, and I can't wait to leave Kuwait. It's really fucking depressing here.
It's really hot.
Bob, if you're listening, it's okay to take us out. Bring us back to our fams.
Yeah.
Well, Edward, and then we'll have to leave again.
Edward Snowden, if you're listening, we need more internet.
What if our listeners were only fucking, like, the big players of global politics? Like, none of our friends listen or movie fans. It's just, like, Mitch McConnell's a big fan.
Xi Jinping.
Yeah. It'd be fucking amazing. You can follow us on Twitter at TheChanPod. You can like us on Chansplaining on Facebook. Fucking fuck you, rate it, review us 5 stars.
Yeah, fuck you, Mitch McConnell.
If you've listened to 4 episodes and you haven't rated and reviewed us yet on iTunes, what the fuck are you doing? Give your boys a break. Give us the Chan bump that we so require. Any other plugs, guys? We should pick our movie for next week.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I have no opinions.
Let's do, we've brought it up enough. Well, Sonny, you're bringing out the laptop. I was gonna pitch, honestly, Shanghai Noon.
Oh, you just want to skip all the way up
Let's
there?
Skip, because we've gotten a lot of different things so far.
This would be the first native English one he's done, right?
That'd yeah. I don't think, Rush Hour needs to be a bigger deal, but.
Is Shanghai Noon pre-Russia?
No, I don't think so. It's the native one that we've done.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, are you guys cool with Shanghai Noon?
Yeah, it works.
Yeah, actually, I heard Shanghai Noon was recorded in Mandarin, and Owen Wilson dubbed his voice in afterwards.
That's not
true, but that's fine. All right, thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks, all.
It's been good.
Bye. See you, bye. Mitch McConnell.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Turkey Day.
All right, bye. All right, good job, guys. Oh, shit, recording.
Music. Music. Fan. You. Fan.